One day, a hiker got lost in the woods. He was trekking through and realized that every tree that he looked at appeared the same. He was lost in the woods, trying to find his way through this maze of trees, shrubs, branches, and vines. He kept on walking in the deep, dense forest, and pushing past branches in his face, tripping over vines that were hidden under the leaves that lined the forest floor. He eventually stumbles upon an opening, a seemingly oasis that is hidden within the trees. It astonished him when he came upon this place, because this place, although it was in the forest, did not look like the woods in which he was lost in. The grass was lush and soft. There was a fresh stream of water that was nearby. In fact, it was clear, and so he could look up and he could feel the warmth of the sun resting again on his face. This oasis, this place in which he found, offered him an opportunity to rest, allowed him to refill his water bottle. It allowed him some time to gather himself before venturing back on in his journey. My brothers and sisters, just like the hiker lost in the woods, when you read the book of Lamentations, you are reading about the prophet Jeremiah's journey through the deep, dense forest of pain and despair. Jeremiah pens these five poems after having experienced the devastation and destruction of Jerusalem. If you go back and read the last chapter of Jeremiah's book, it talks about the destruction of Jerusalem at the hands of the Babylonians. The Bible says that because of the people's sin, it eventuated into the Babylonians destroying the land. Jeremiah thinks about what he has experienced. It causes him to start this journey through the deep, dense forest of pain and despair. And when you go back and read the accounts that happened in Jeremiah of the city's destruction by the Babylonians, Jeremiah rests really on three main things that happened as a result of that Babylonian attack. That as a result of the attack, the city's walls are broken. The walls that encompass the city of Jerusalem, these walls that offered safety and security, were broken down. These walls that symbolized the protection of the people from outsiders was torn down. Not only were the walls broken, but Jeremiah goes on to explain how the temple was burned down. The temple of God for the people of Israel was the literal presence of God that dwelt with the people. It's how they formed their sense of God. It's how they felt close to God. But the temple was burned down. Not only was the walls broken, not only was the temple burned, but then Jeremiah explains how the people were bound and taken back to Babylon. The people, these beautiful children of God, now were left, they were taken away from their land. And all of these experiences by this weeping prophet causes him to walk through this deep, dense forest of pain and despair. Now, I know you and I did not experience the destruction of Babylon. You and I did not have the chance, and thankfully, to see all of the devastation that Jeremiah talks about. But I do want to suggest that you and I maybe have some similar experiences. Someone knows what it's like to have your walls broken down, having experienced something that robs you of your sense of safety and security. What happened to you that took your walls down? What happened to you that made you feel vulnerable and remind you that maybe I'm not as protected as I think? That what happened to you that robbed you of your sense of safety and security? Well, maybe it wasn't that your walls were torn down. Maybe it was that your temple was burned down. What happened to you that made you lose your understanding of God? What happened to make you lose your sense of God's presence with you in this thing called life? What happened that burned your temple down? That made you forget that God is still walking with you? What made you forget that God still loves you and cares for you? What happened to you? Maybe it wasn't that your walls were broken down. Maybe it wasn't that your temple was burned, but maybe it was that there were some people in your life that are no longer here with you. Some people that were bound either by the kiss of death or bound by some other reason. What happened to you? Can I tell you that death is a hard pill to swallow. To have to love someone and then sit in front of their casket. To have to love a spouse and now be going through divorce. That's hard. To have to be in a relationship with people who despitefully use you and abuse their relationship and your love toward them. That's hard. And it can sometimes cause people to feel isolated and alone. I don't know what happened, but all of us eventually will find ourselves, like Jeremiah, walking through the deep, dense forest of pain and despair. But keep on walking like Jeremiah walked. If you keep wrestling like Jeremiah wrestled, eventually you might find yourself at an opening, a clearing within the woods, a place where the grass is green, a place where the water flows, a place where you can feel the warmth of the sun resting on your face. Jeremiah found that place. He found it when he says that I remember. Huh. This is what I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. It's a hard thing to go through those woods. It's a hard thing to experience so much pain and devastation. In fact, Jeremiah's pain and devastation, he says that he doesn't just remember it, but it permeated down into his soul. Jeremiah says, I remember my affliction, the wormwood and the gall, and my soul remembers and sinks within me. My soul remembers and sinks within me. What Jeremiah experienced was so painful and devastating that his soul remembered. Dr. Bessel van der Kolk, a medical doctor and neuroscientist, wrote a book called The Body Keeps the Score. And in the book, he explains how trauma affects the human body. Dr. van der Kolk suggests that a person can experience something so traumatizing that even after the event is long past, the person's body can still react as if they're in fight or flight. Their body can react as if they are still experiencing the trauma of what happened long ago. That's what Jeremiah says when he says that my soul remembers and sinks within me. Jeremiah was walking through that deep forest. But then he finds that oasis. And when he finds it, he says that this I call to mind. Therefore, I have hope. What a strange word. What a strange concept. Hope. Something that can give you the ability to look past what's happening in the present. Hope. Hope is a strange paradox in which humans, all of us, will have to experience. Because in order to experience hope means that you first have to experience despair. They go hand in hand. It's part of the paradox of being a human that in order to appreciate light, you have to first have experienced darkness. In order to experience love, you will inevitably experience grief. That in order to be healed requires you to first be sick. It's a strange paradox. In order to experience pleasure, you have to know how it is to feel pain. It's a strange concept. In fact, Frankie Beverly said it best like this. He said, joy and pain is like sunshine and rain. Come on, y'all. Y'all talk back to me, because in this thing called life, if you're going to have hope, hey, you gotta first traverse through some deep, dense woods of pain and despair. But he says, this I recall to mind. Therefore, I have hope. What is this hope that Jeremiah speaks about? What is this hope that you and I are afforded? Former First Lady Michelle Obama at last week's Democratic National Convention talked about hope. In fact, she said hope is the anticipation of being on the cusp of a brighter day. That's hope. Hope is looking forward to know that better days are coming. But hope can be dangerous, no? One of my favorite movies, my wife teases me, Shawshank Redemption. Morgan Freeman played the character of a brother named Red. And when Red was talking to Andy Dufresne, Red said in so much anger and anguish that hope is a dangerous thing. He said hope can drive a man to kill himself. And I thought about that, because hope can be dangerous. to have to anticipate and want something brighter and better so bad. And when it doesn't come, it can cause you to relinquish your hope. It can cause you to distrust in God. God, I thought you said things were going to get better. I prayed for this thing to brighten up. But here I find myself in this deep, dense forest. I'm going somewhere, y'all. I'm just trying to make a point. The point that I'm trying to make is that sometimes the same thing that can cause us to look forward to a brighter day can be the same thing that can intensify the hurt and the pain. But thanks be to God. You and I don't have to live like Morgan Freeman does in the movie. You and I don't have to be disappointed whenever we have hope. No, because the hope that is offered to the believer is not a hope that is just cast into the air unknowingly. No, it's not a hope that is just thrown out into nothing, praying that it sticks. A hope that we have is not just blindly shooting an arrow at the target, hoping that you hit the bullseye. No, but you and I have a different type of hope. Yeah, in fact, the Bible talks about hope as being intrinsically attached to the existence of God. That's why we have hope. In fact, Psalms 31, 24 says, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord." Psalm 38, 15 says, "For in you, O Lord, I hope. You will hear, O my Lord and my God." Psalm 42 and 5 says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." What I'm trying to tell you, my brothers and sisters, is that the hope for the believer is not an empty optimism. That hope for the believer is not hollowed expectations. Hope for the believer is not a lottery ticket hoping that you hit your numbers. Hope for the believer, it's not a pool at the slot machine, but hope is the reality that because the heart of God is always bent toward the people of God, that everything will be all right. That's hope. In fact, the psalmist and the hymnologist said it best when they said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean, hey, on Jesus' name." That's we have a hope. Go ahead, take your seats. I'm moving on to my points. All I'm trying to tell you is that you and I have a reason. Hey, you and I always have a reason to have hope. God, I feel God in here. Yeah, your hope for the believer is never a dangerous thing. But you can always have hope because we have a God who lives. We have a God who reigns. We have a God who sits on the throne. Yes, who the kids just said he's got the whole world in his hands. That's why you and I can have hope. I'm moving on, but I had to ask Jeremiah. I said, "How is it that you discovered this reason to have hope?" I heard Jeremiah said, "Well, I realized that I had a reason to have hope when I reconsidered my plight." Yeah, he says, it was bad. The city was destroyed. The walls were broken down. He says the temple was burned down. All the people had been taken. But I realized that through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. In fact, God is faithful. In fact, he's not just faithful, but Jeremiah says, great. I was talking to my daughter Kennedy. Thank you, Lord. I was talking to my daughter Kennedy the other day about Wendy's. We went and got some food, and I was telling her. She said, "Daddy, I want a medium fry." I said, "Okay, baby. You can get it your way, baby girl." She got a medium fry, and I was telling her. I said, "Baby, back in the day, Wendy's had different sizes. Wendy's had a small. They had a medium. They had a biggie." And I said, and if you really were feeling froggy, they had a great biggie. It was a super size. And I showed her the picture of all the fries that you can stick into the box of the great biggie. And what Jeremiah is saying is that my God is not just small faithful. He's not just medium size faithful. He's not just biggie size faithful. The God that I serve is great. Hey, great is thy faithfulness. He said, I realized that I had a reason to have hope when I reconsidered my plight. He said, I had to look at some things and I realized that the destruction was bad. He said, the situation that we were in was bad, but I thanked God that it wasn't worse. He says, I had to realize that after all that I had been through, that there were still instances where I could see God's mercy and God's grace. He says, I saw it because I realized that I wasn't consumed. Can I tell you how you know that God is with you? Can I prove to you how God has been faithful to you even though you've cried some tears? Can I prove to you that God has been with you even though you've had to walk through some dense, deep forests? It's because you are not consumed. You're still here today. In fact, the old deacons would say, he woke me up this morning, started me on my way. He put warm blood running through my veins. And that's how I know that you're not consumed. In fact, you entered into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, because the truth of it is that although I've been through some things, hey, I'm still here. I still got my mind. I'm still here. I still got a praise in my heart. I'm still here. I'll still keep on walking. I'm still here because the God that I serve, hey, kept me from being consumed. I'm not consumed. He said, I had to relook at this thing. He said, I had to reconsider this plight of mine. As bad as it is, I thank God that it's not worse. There's a story of a son. His mama gave him a call, check up on him. She said, baby, how was your day? He said, mama, my day was terrible. He said, I woke up this morning. The car wouldn't start, so I had to take an Uber to work. He said, then when I got to the job, I realized that night shift ain't did nothing. So I had to work double throughout the day. Then he said, when I got home, I walked in the house and realized that the dog had tore up all the inside of the house. He said, mama, my day has been terrible. Mama listened to him complain and murmur on that phone. And then she said, well, baby, let me make sure I understand this right. She said, first of all, you woke up. She said, then let me get this straight. She said, God kept you from getting in a car that wasn't fit for being on the road. She said, then let me hear this straight. God gave you an opportunity to show your boss and your manager that you can be faithful with double the load. And then she said, when you got home, you found out that you still got a roof over your head. She said, baby, don't let your pain make you overlook God's presence. God has been good to you. Reassess that thing and re-look at the plight that you have, and surely you'll say that I've had some good days. I've had, yes, some hills to climb. I've had some bad days, and I may have had some sleepless nights. Hey, but when I look around and I begin to think things over, all of my good days, they outweigh my bad days. And so, hey, I simply won't complain. God's been good to me. Has God been good to you? Did he wake you up this morning? Warm blood running through your veins? God's been good to you, kept you from dangers seen and unseen. I know you've had to cry some tears and walk through those dense, deep forests, but God has been faithful. He said, I had to reconsider my plight. Y'all take a seat. I'm almost done. I'm on my last point. He said, I had a reason to have hope once I reconsidered my plight. But then he said, I had a reason to have hope once I rejoiced in my portion. I'm right here in the text. He says, the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. That's an interesting word he uses, portion. It speaks to two things. The first thing it speaks to is the notion of an inheritance. That the children of Israel, when they made it to the promised land, that each of the 12 tribes were given a portion, an inheritance. But there was one tribe that was not given a portion of land. The tribe of Levi. They served in the temple. In fact, their portion, the Bible says, was the Lord. They had no physical land. They were given the Lord. And here Jeremiah invokes that same thought, that same concept, that I had to watch everything burn down. I had to watch those walls be destroyed. I had to watch my loved ones taken away. And I realized that I had nothing left. And my brothers and sisters, whenever you find yourself in a place where life has you to realize that you have nothing left, I believe you'll realize that God is all you need. That's what Jeremiah is saying. He's saying that I had to realize that I don't need things. I don't need houses and land. I don't need silver and gold. As long as I got Jesus, I know everything is going to be all right. For the Lord is my portion. He said, I had to realize that temple, yeah, was just a building. That God exists outside and all around. The Lord is my portion. He said, I had to realize that those walls that I thought were keeping me secure was not it. It was really the Lord that was keeping me safe, because the Lord is my portion. He said, those people who left, he said, I had to realize that after they left, that the Lord was all I needed, because he walks with me, because he talks with me, because he still tells me that I'm his own because the Lord is my portion. Yes, it speaks to an inheritance, but it also speaks to literally a portion of food. It speaks of a meal that you can eat. Yeah, I just celebrated my birthday last Thursday. My beautiful wife, she came to me and asked me, she said, baby, what restaurant would you like to eat at? And I told her, I said, baby, I usually go for a steak, you know. Yes, Lord. But I said, baby, I said, this time I want you to cook me a meal. When dinner time came, I walked downstairs. Deke, she had oxtail and some rice and peas. She had some cabbage and homemade macaroni and cheese. What a mighty God we serve. Well, I sat down at that dinner, and there were two extra plates at the table. Because unfortunately, I got these two little girls that keep on following me around, calling me daddy, asking me to feed them and whatnot, you know. Sat down at the table, they started eating the same food that I was eating. And when they were done, I got upset because they got through with their food before me. Then had the nerve to get up and say, mama, can we have seconds? I saw little hands scooping into that oxtail. Grabbing that rice and cabbage and macaroni and cheese made me sick. But I realized that the first portion that they had, it didn't satisfy them. So they had to go back for more. But Jeremiah says, hey, the God that I serve, I only got to go to him one time. Once I scoop out that pot of the Lord's grace and mercy, I found out real quick that the Lord is my portion. And he satisfies everything that I need. Come on, I wish I had a witness this morning that can simply testify that when I was down and out, I turned to the Lord and I found out that he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. When I found out that the Lord is truly a way maker out of no way, because the Lord is my portion. In fact, I like the songwriter who said, so why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? And why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home when Jesus is my portion? A constant friend is he. And if his eye is on the sparrow, then I know he watches me. Hey, that's why you got a reason to have hope. I said, my brothers and my sisters, you got a reason to have hope. And the reason we have a hope that cannot die, it's because we have a Savior who forever lives. In fact, I heard that one Friday, they nailed him to an old rugged cross. In fact, they put him up on that cross and they drove nails into his hands. They put nails in his feet. They put a crown of thorns upon his head. And they even pierced him in his side. And he hung on that cross until he died. Hey, but that's not how the story ends, because 3 days later he rose up with all power in his hands. Power to save, power to heal, power to deliver. Hey, and he lives today. That's your reason to have hope. It's because you and I have a Savior who forever lives. And as long as I hope in him, I can keep on looking for a new day and a brighter tomorrow. In fact, I heard them say that because he lives,
I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all my fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future. Life is worth the living just because he lives. You have a reason to have hope.
We know that you have been blessed through the hearing of God's Word on this day. We invite you to join us at New Providence Missionary Baptist Church, located at 4813 Hilltop Needmore Road, Fuquay, Varina, North Carolina. For more information, you can contact our ministry at 919-552-3531 or visit our website at www.newprovidencebaptist.com. Thank you for joining us. And be blessed.